just a great blessing how God was working in all of you and all of us and in the community with our clothing giveaway. In 27 years, the clothing giveaway has been going on, and great that we have the resources and great that it, an opportunity to serve one with another, and a great blessing that it's kind of by the community, for the community, from the church, from the Lord, and great to share in that time together, and how many were blessed, and how those that came received blessings and love and encouragement, how brought hearts of service, how those that came and came all week long and folded clothes and set up, and then those that were here to minister one with another. And so I want to share that blessing of how God was working, how we continually have opportunities to give and to serve, and how we get to be invited in that. And so praise God for that. We give God the glory for a successful ministry, the clothing giveaway, and as we have opportunities to continue to serve one another and serve God in this place together. So praise God for that. I don't know how you picture Jesus when you picture how Jesus walked and talked on this earth. But the picture I see of Jesus, of his walk and his life, you know, I see him walking so lightly. I don't see him walking with such a heavy burden that I find myself walking with and that I see a lot of people walking with. I see that his steps were very light and free, and that he had this peace, and he had this joy, and he had this confidence of who he was and who God was and what it was he was here to do. And when I can imagine his voice just filled with love, just a voice that was confident but soft, strong when it needed to be, but just completely sure of who God was, what his purpose was, and his great desire to draw everybody to him. I think it was a voice that was comforting, that was soothing, that got people's attention so they would want to be with him. See, Jesus was confident and is confident in who he is. And he knew that he is the Son of God. He knew from where he came, who his Father was, what he came to do, and what was going to happen. He was confident in his purpose, in his mission. His mission of love to draw all people to God through him. And he was perfect in how he lived. And what made him perfect in how he lived is that his life could be summed up in one word: love. How he loved God and how he loved others. And Jesus is confident also in you. He's confident in who we are. He's confident in who we can be. And he's confident in what our purpose is to be. We've been studying the book of John 15, 12 and following. I'm going to pick it up in John 15 and start in verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. This is Jesus. Hear how he speaks confidently of himself and his great love for us and his great desire and his confidence of what he sees in us and for us. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I am him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. I hear a lot of love. I hear a lot of confidence, but I also hear a lot of perfection, a lot of completeness that Jesus knows he has, but also says, I see that you can have this as well. That you can be perfect in love, you can be perfect in obedience, and you can be perfect in the joy that you have in me. We see that
He says, as the Father has loved me. Check out the perfect love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. There could be no more perfect love than the love of God. And we say Jesus is love, but another way to define God is God is love. God's love is perfect. So he says, as the perfect God has loved me, so I have loved you perfectly. So, love as I love. Abide in my love. And we know God's love is perfect because of what he did. He did what would be is the greatest expression of any kind of love. We know in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Is there any greater expression of love than that, that anything could ever have been given for you and for me and for the whole world? It's a perfect love. And he does this, why? So that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. God's love is perfect, and Jesus is saying to his disciples there, and he's saying to us today, as that perfect love has come to me, so I have perfectly loved you. And Jesus' love is perfect because of the gift that he gave. God gave his Son so that we can have life, and Jesus is perfect because he completely is about the other to the point that he gives his life. Jesus loves with the same perfect love, so I have loved you, and he is obedient to God and gives his life. And he gives his life while we were sinners. Christ died for us. Jesus is so confident in that, that this rolls off his lips so smoothly and so softly, as the Father has loved me perfectly, so I have loved you perfectly. So abide in this perfect love. See, he has confidence in you and confidence in us to abide in him and to love like he does. To love like God does. And the way to love like he does and the way to love like God does is to love completely the other. To love completely him and completely others. And he goes on with this perfection. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. Here again, Jesus confidently expresses his perfect obedience. He says, keeping the commandments is a sign of abiding in my love. If you are loving me, then you are doing as I command. And he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I. How has he obeyed? He's obeyed perfectly. Just as I. And we know that Jesus was perfect in his commands because he's always, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. And he was perfectly obedient because he was always completely about the others. Always about God's wishes, his Father's wishes. He was always completely about others around him. And his love is perfect and his obedience is perfect. He had no signs of grudge given to God. No sign of resenting God as he was carrying out his obedience. He was purely out of love with no benefit for himself to where he had nothing left to give. Because if you're if you're obeying imperfectly, you're still holding something back. You're not giving that 100% or that 110% that you hear a lot. You got to give and then give beyond what you're able to give. See, Jesus gives to where there's nothing left. And we hear about this type of giving expressed in the Scriptures. We hear it related to financial giving a lot of times. Like the widow who gave everything she had. There were all the wealthy that came and they were giving out of their wealth. But they were holding something back, where the widow's gift was the one that was well received because she gave it all, completely. We hear in Corinthians, as Paul is
is gathering collections for the saints and for the churches. He talks about the Corinthians. He talks about their financial giving, which we know financial giving is not just about the money. It's expression of the heart. It says they gave voluntarily out of their means, but even beyond their means, begging earnestly for the privilege of sharing in the ministry to the saints. What makes that type of giving perfect is that it is completely other to pour from with everything beyond your means and still desiring to give more. How can you give more when you've given it all? There's still more and more that can be given. You know, my younger brother was an all-state runner in cross country and in track. He was a long distance guy, ran the mile and 2 mile in track, made it to state competition in Montana every year. Cross country, one of the top 15 runners in the state almost his whole high school career. And I got to see, he was in high school while I was in college. And so track season's in the spring, and my college semester would usually end before he was done. And so by the time I got home, he was already on to his divisional races. And the top five people from a division would make it onto state. And I would watch him run, and he was awesome. He was awesome. And I knew he was awesome because when I was in high school and he was in junior high, he was so good in junior high that his only competition was to try to see how many people he could lap. He would bust out, you know, the mile on a track is 4 laps. And as soon as he took off, by the first 100 meters, he was already had won the race. And his only motivation was to see how many people he could catch and lap before he finished. And it's hard to lap somebody in a 4-lap race. And he would do it. So imagine what he's like when he's a junior and senior in high school. He was a beast. And he would give, he gave more than I was ever able to give. And I watched him race his divisional 2-mile race. And he was way out in front. Now, he wasn't quite lapping people, but he was in front. He wins the 2-mile race, and we're all going nuts, and we're watching him. His arms aren't up like this, but he's stepping off in the infield and puking out his guts. He gives beyond what he's able to give, to where he has nothing left, and everything inside of him has come out. And afterward, I watched that, and we're like, "Ugh, that's disgusting." And then he got back in the stands, and we're like, "Are you okay?" He goes, "Yeah, I feel awesome." And it was awesome to see that even though you feel like you got nothing left to give. Now, I've run a lot of races, and I have felt like that, but I have held back. I've either stopped or given up. I'm not letting that come out. My brother, otherwise, he gave completely. To where he literally had, when he thought he had nothing left, there was still something in the tank, and it showed on the field. Well, that is perfect obedience. The Lord, when you think, what more could the Lord give? And He gives to where there's nothing left. The last breath. You think, what more could He give? He's on the cross. He's there to die. And He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what He uses His last breath to do. He's got nothing more to give. But yet He gives perfectly and completely. Jesus has confidence in us to be motivated by that kind of love to obey perfectly and to love completely the other. He goes on and says, I have said these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. He says, well, his joy was perfect. He always saw God through every trial, and he never faltered, never gave up, never sinned. And he says, I have said these things about perfect love and perfect obedience so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Your joy may be perfect. We could have faith knowing that Jesus is always with us. So we can have the confidence to always trust no matter what. to have the comfort to always have peace, no matter what. And to always have courage and never, ever to fear. Jesus has confidence in us to love perfectly, to obey perfectly, so we can have that perfect joy. Well, how is this possible? It sounds too good to be true. We're talking about perfection. And I'm far from that perfection. That's not how my life plays out. That's not how I feel. I'm not walking on the cloud. My steps aren't light. My voice isn't soft. I'm not always comfort. I'm kind of grudged up a lot of times. My face is downcast. My faith is shaky at times. I'm not always at trusting. I'm not always peaceful. I have fear. I'm afraid. I'm not content. And Jesus says, how? And the question I ask is, how? He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. To be completely the other. That is how you have perfect love. That's how you have perfect obedience. That's how you have that perfect joy. To be completely not about me, about God and about the others, and nothing left for yourself. That is what joy is. That's how you get this. Do I believe that, though? Do we really believe that? We may know it, but do I really live like that? Because you know what belief is? It's not just a knowing, it's a living. If you're not living it, I got to question the belief of it. Because belief is walking it and talking it and living it out. Not just knowing it in our minds, but living it out through our lives. Do I know this? Am I living it? I'm afraid. I'm not fearless. I'm not content. I'm not at peace. I may be dreary. I'm not always living in that joy. I hold back sometimes. I hold back in my obedience. I'm not completely the other. And I know I hold back because sometimes I hold a grudge. Sometimes I'm resentful about that giving. Thinking, I'm not going to give because what about me? What is this going to gain me? And I'm selfish. If I love, then what will they do for me? When I hold that if, that's not perfect. And I think, what about me? I'm selfish in love. I'm selfish in obedience. I don't have that joy because I'm not completely about the other. Not completely about God. I ask, Lord, help my unbelief. Overcome my unbelief. There's some words that could give some encouragement. We go to 1 John chapter 4. John wrote in the gospel there about the vine. He also writes more in 1 John chapter 4. What is the answer? How are we to attain that perfection? How are we to live and walk in that perfection? John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. How am I to live that way? The answer is love. Church, I wrote some scripture. I wrote some words up here for us to confess, because I know I need to be reminded of my faith. I need to be reminded of what it is I believe so I can live this way, to remind myself, to remember who God is, what Jesus has done, what I truly believe, so I can live that and have that love, to have that obedience, to have that joy. So here, dear friends, let us love one another. Love comes from God. Do we believe in God? Say with me, if you can confess this, that first line,
I believe in God. Let's say that. I believe in God. And what do we believe about God? I believe He loves me. Let's say those two together. I believe in God, and I believe He loves me. Do you really? Amen. How are you living? Are you living like God loves you? Are you loving Him completely? Are you loving others completely? The answer is love. And he goes on, 1 John 4, verse 9. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The answer is love, and God loved us by sending His Son. So what is it we believe about Jesus? That He is the Son of God. So that next line, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Say that with me again. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And if He is the Son of God, that means He is Lord. And as the Lord of our lives, as the Son of God, what has He done? He died for our sins. So that, say that last line. I believe Jesus died for my sins. Let's say all four of those together. I believe in God. I believe He loves me. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus died for my sins. Do I live like what I believe? He goes on in John 4, 11 and following. 1 John 4, 11 and following. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He gave Himself because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Anyone who acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him. And He in God. And so we know and believe in the love God has for us. That is how I can love perfectly. That is how I can obey. That's how I can have that joy to live the belief of God in me. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit living inside of you? And the Holy Spirit is God inside of you. So what do we have to fear? What do we have to worry about giving all that we have completely and giving more beyond? If the Holy Spirit is within me and I give everything I can give, the Holy Spirit's got more inside of me than what I have. And so you can't give beyond what you're able to give because the Holy Spirit is in us. So I believe, read that line there, 11:6. I believe in the Holy Spirit and I believe that God lives in me. That's how I can live that way when I believe that in God, that He loves me, that He is, that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for me, that the Holy Spirit is within me, that God lives in me. And so we know this, but do we live in that? Do we believe in that? Do we believe the love God has for us, that He's given us all this to be inside of us so that we can live this life, the way Jesus lived this life, completely in love, completely in obedience, completely in joy, where our voice is light and confident, where our walk is confident and loving to others. So how might we live? Let's finish with 1 John 4, 16b and following. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love.
But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made complete in love. We love because He first loved us. We can have confidence because love is made complete in us. And we can have confidence on the day of judgment because I believe in the resurrection. That's how we could have confidence on the day of judgment. The way I can be complete in love and give it all because I believe in the resurrection. If you could say that with me, say that with me. I believe in the resurrection. And so, since Jesus is alive and He lives in us by the Holy Spirit, since God is perfect and perfect in love, and since He lives in us, we are complete. There is nothing else. There's no closer He can come to us. This is our confidence. This is our confidence of how we can live completely the other. And there is no fear in love. This is how we can love one another. This is how we can love perfectly, love completely, and love one another. You know, it would be great to hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," would it not? Well done, good and faithful servant. But that's not what He's going to say. Because you are not a servant. You are God's friend. You are God's friend. We may see ourselves as lowly servants, not worthy to be called His son or His daughter. But you are His friend. Here, John, as he addresses in this, he says, "Dear friends," because that is what we are. That we are called dear friends of God, knowing that God sees you as His friend. If you just will see ourselves as a friend of God, what are we to fear? That's how we can love completely, obey completely, and have joy completely. To know we got our best friend right with us. What more could be make us more complete? There's a song we're going to sing at the end of our service, "As the Deer." And it says, "As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs after You. You, O Lord, are my strength and shield. You, O Lord, are my strength and shield. To You, O Lord, may my spirit yield. You, O Lord, are my heart's desire, and I long..." Man, I'm messing it up. Huh? I'm good? But the second verse, that's not in our songbook, says, "You're my friend, and You are my brother." This is our address to Jesus, and this is how you see Jesus. "You're my friend, and You are my brother. Even though You are a king, I love You more than any other. So much more than anything. You alone are my strength and my shield. You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship You." And so as His dear friends, as His brothers and sisters, how might we live lives that are free to worship God? To praise God all day long with arms raised back up, with nothing left to give, no fear, complete in love, completely obedient, completely in joy. That's what I so desire, to have that life of joy. Sometimes my life, I'm just so all about me. And this week I've been so about me. Ask Leah. I've not been kind and good. It's been all about me. And as Jesus is saying, as I have loved, You love. As I have obeyed, You obey. And this joy could be yours. I want that. Do you want that joy? Do you want to walk that way? Do you want to live that way? So that when people see you, they see Jesus? Well, how are you living? Completely joy,
complete confidence? Are you completely about the others, or are you like me, that you get in your own way? You know what the Lord was saying to me, has been saying to me for a while? It's not about you. Get out of the way. Quit looking in the mirror. Look to me. I got this. You're my friend. Just stay right there. You're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. We're friends of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. What do you believe? Are you completely loving, completely obedient? But what is keeping you from that life of joy? It's a lack of love, a lack of obedience. What are your fears? What are your selfish desires? What are you resentful about? That's no way to live. That's no way to walk around, to carry that even a moment more. You don't deserve that. Your families don't deserve that. Your neighbors don't deserve that. Your church doesn't deserve that. The community doesn't need to see that. They need to see Christ. So what is holding you back? Come and confess those. Come and make your desires known. Come, if you want to live completely by abiding in His love, then come this morning and make the Lord's joy complete in you by completely abiding in Him together as we stand and sing.